We're going to have some family time right now. We have a special announcement that we're going to share. For those of you who've been recently coming to New Life City, you might not understand all the history of New Life City. I'm sure we'll get a little bit more of that once I call these people up here. But New Life City had become a church that we say a word-based church led by the Spirit. It was a Baptist pastor who got filled with the Spirit, and he planted a church called New Life City, and then a vineyard pastor who was filled with the Spirit joined our church, and we became a church called New Life City. And so we have, you heard some vineyard songs this morning? That's part of the roots. And so we have a special announcement about Earl Fox, who was the head of the vineyard pastor when he merged with New Life City, with our head pastor, our founding pastor, Dr. Alan Hawkins. So I'm just going to call both of them up here. This is Dr. Alan Hawkins. Love you, buddy.
Love you.
And this is Errol Fox, who's the pastor of the Vineyard. Love you. So.
Isn't it a great day?
It's a great day.
So good to be here. I don't get to be with you very often anymore. Today is also, it's notable, October the 1st, 2000, is the day the church was constituted as a church. So this is actually the Founder's Day.
Isn't that amazing?
And in God's sovereignty, he arranged, because Errol reached out to me and told me that the Lord has called them, Errol and Brenda, to go home to Vineyard. Just the same way the Lord called him to come join with us, now the Lord's calling him to go and finish his work with them. And we don't normally, when people leave within the city, we don't always do this. But this is different. This is one of the founding pastors of the church. Yeah. And so Errol and I were co-pastors. We were called New Life Christian Fellowship in those days. And then Errol, 3 years after we started, the Lord called you to California and then Colorado and then called you to come back here and help me finish. And so now we're just going to bless them and send them. So I'm going to speak a blessing over them. And then, in fact, Errol, hallelujah. This is my friend.
My friend.
This is my friend. Brenda, would you stand? And Gail, would you stand? So, Errol, may the Lord bless you and keep you.
Yeah.
And make his face shine upon you.
Yeah.
And be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And may the Lord give you peace. Mm. May he prosper you as you go. May he strengthen your bodies, give you health as long as you have days.
Yes, God.
May he allow the power of God to flow through your hands and through your voice. May the Lord be upon you. May he be with you.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Speak a word of blessing over the people.
Whew. I think I can talk. The Spirit of the Lord is so strong and so good. And he always is. And our returning to the Vineyard it wasn't an easy decision or process. But we know that God has called us back to the Vineyard. And there's a whole lot of stuff we haven't got time to share about, but it's just fantastic leading of the Lord. But I just want to very quickly release a blessing upon New Life City. And knowing from my heart, as a father of this house, a father in the Lord, your father and mine, I want to release a father's blessing on you guys.
Amen.
So Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come, and I release now the blessing of the Father on this house. A blessing that goes beyond their comprehension. Lord, we thank you for all the new faces in here. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring many, 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 many more new faces and many, many people that will get in touch with the love of the Father through evangelism, through home groups, through all of the various activities that are going on in this fellowship. We know that you're going to release your blessing, Father, your love, Papa, to a whole generation in the city of Albuquerque. So we bless and release the Father heart now in Jesus' name. Just release your Father heart.
We love you, Errol. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Love you. So it's going to be sad, but it's also, we're so happy for Errol and Brenda and what God's doing in their life. And how many know that when you're a believer, you never really retire? You just die one day. You know, it should never be anything else. Well, I wanted to continue sharing about what God's been speaking to me about. And I think that the topic that I'm going to share on is, you know, something that can seem so simplistic, but often really hard to actually walk out in our actual life. It can be so simple and so basic, but sometimes some of the most basic concepts are really hard to apply to our actual spiritual life. And actually manifest it physically, and so I want to talk about the sermon that I titled it. I called this sermon the Trust Fall Sermon, falling into the arms of God. Have you ever had a trust fall before? It's one of those practices that became popular not too long ago, maybe when I was a teenager. And then gym class, I remember them showing me for the first time how I'm supposed to trust my peers, which didn't work out really great for the rest of my life. But in this circumstance of gym class, they had everybody stand up and fall into each other's arms. And they would say, you know, your commands would be, say, okay, I'm about to fall. And they say, ready, and they say falling, and they say fall away, and then the person falls, and everyone catches them, and you're like, wow, that was great. The problem is that when we do it, and not people are ready, it's like I've seen people try to trust fall by stage diving into a crowd during a concert. Have you ever seen that? It's great when they catch you. When they don't, they just disappear into the black abyss of the, you know, whatever, of the crowd, and you're like, well, I wonder what happened to that person. That didn't look too good. And trust is one of these things that is easily broken but takes a long time to build up, isn't it? And sometimes we try to quantify it into a exercise like a trust fall. But it's way more than that. And so as believers, we're not looking for perfection in each other, but we are looking for the one who is perfect. And when you put your trust in him and you allow him to hold you, you allow him to guide you, your whole life changes. Some of the most frustrating Christians and unbelievers, but a lot of times Christians, unbelievers, they don't know any better, but Christians I see frustrated all the time because they want to continue to take their life in their own hands and still try to call themselves a Christian, still try to walk the walk and talk the talk when they're really not capable in their own strength. They need the help of the Holy Spirit. They need the help of God. They need to allow God to guide their life. They need to allow God to be the one they trust in instead of themselves. And sometimes they're like, I don't understand it. And it's like, if you try to do trust falls with yourself, it never works out. You can hold yourself as tight as you want. You're going down. Trust falling in Jesus is different. Let's talk about trust. Webster's dictionary is very similar, obviously, to how we use it in the English language. To have a strong belief in the goodness or ability of someone or something, to have trust in someone or something. But in the Hebrew, the word betak, the Hebrew means to trust, be confident or sure. It is derived from a primitive root that means to hide for refuge or to adhere to. Here's what's interesting. The word has been used in the Bible and other sources to refer to clinging to a strong bond between the Creator and man, but currently, in its modern form, it has used the word for glue. To trust, it's clinging to, adhere to be glued to. You actually, when you trust God, you're not just saying, hey, you just need to be there when I need you. It's, God, I'm on you like glue. Because you're the anchor. You're the only thing that's trustworthy. You're the only thing that will never fail me. It is only his trust that'll get us through. Let's look at Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. It seems so simple. It seems so, wow, that's amazing. God, I love that, but it's not happening. But see, sometimes we miss this little word, A-L-L, used to be a laundry detergent. I don't know, maybe it still is a laundry detergent. I don't do laundry. My children do laundry. That's why I had children. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm just making a joke. But all makes a big difference when it comes to trust. When it comes to trusting in God, it needs to be all. Look, you're all sitting on a chair right now. It's a nice, strong chair. They're highly overpriced, okay? Buying new ones is super expensive. Funny enough, it's more expensive to have them cleaned. So we just Febreze them, really. We just don't even, no, I'm just kidding. But this chair is super strong. They're great weight capacity, and you know, you don't even think about it. You trust that chair. You're sitting in this chair because you have a steadfast belief that this chair is going to uphold you. Now, I want you to do this. Well, I don't want you to, but think about it. Try sitting in that chair only 80%. Try engaging your legs because you don't quite trust it. See how long you last trusting in that chair only 80% of your body weight. Soon your legs give out. Soon you're fatigued, you're stressed out. Why? Because you're not putting all your trust in that chair. You know what you trust in is what you go to first when there's a problem. If you want to know what you trust in, is that Stephen from Georgia? Hey, what's up, man? It's good to see you. He left us, but he's back. But this is just a tease, right? Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. Forget you, man. So anyway, sorry, I just saw you and it's just like, hey, I know that guy. What you're going through, if you're trying to figure out what really has your trust, what do you really trust in, what do you go to first when you're going through an obstacle, a difficulty? What you go to first is really what is your trust is in. It's what you find is the most reliable. It's what you find is where you're going to get your answer. It's like, bam, that's where I go to. That's my trust. If your go-to is not God, you don't put all your trust in him. If he ends up being your last resort, it's because you only have 50% of your trust in him. If you're being tired as a Christian right now and like circumstances just coming your way, it's like you can't handle it anymore. It's because you're not fully resting in him, you only got 80%. You're still trying to engage your legs. You know, what's nice about sitting in a chair is if you totally trust it, you'll rest in it. If you're not actually sitting in the chair, if you're only engaged a little bit of it, like I sometimes try to do a wall sit. You know what a wall sit is? It's torture. It's like getting in the chair position against a wall without a chair under you. It's amazing how quickly my legs start to tremble. Try to do it for a minute. Now, a minute is usually quick as anything, except if you're sitting against a wall. Time slows down. And it's painful and it hurts. Because really, there's nothing I'm putting my trust in except something that's weak, something that's unreliable, something that's eventually going to fail. But when you put your trust in God totally, when you're actually resting in him and you say, God, I'm going to give all my trust in you, now circumstances, now the weight of the world does not no longer put pressure on you because it's on him. Trusting God's plan means we relinquish our control and accepting his divine wisdom even when it doesn't align with our own understanding. Let's go to Malachi 3:6. In the beginning of this verse, it says, I just want to reference this. I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. See, when we trust in God, we can trust in his unchanging character. In a world full of uncertainties, God's unchanging character becomes our anchor. We can trust him because he remains faithful, loving, and just, regardless of our circumstances. Now, people will say, but Paul, I do trust him. I really think I do. Trust has a fruit, something called obedience. So when you trust him, that means when he tells you something, you actually respond in kind. You say, okay, God, I'm trusting what you're about to say. People all the time ask me, because, you know, the older I get, the more I realize how much of an idiot I was when I was younger. And people are surprised when they find out I'm a head pastor. They're like, okay. Friends on Facebook, like, really, Paul? Like, how's that? I'm like, oh, you have no idea. Or sometimes I'll have, like, a minister who, I remember, 2017, I'm traveling, we're doing these conferences, God's moving, and it's just, you know, hundreds to thousands of people are showing up to them, and they're getting touched, and it's just, it was an awesome time, and this guy comes up to me, his name's Ryan, and he says, Paul, I've been in, you know, I'm trying to do ministry, and I'm trying to, how do you do this? And I'm like, what? Like, how do I become you? I'm like, there's no 10-step program, bro. All I can tell you, the number one thing to do is trust in him. Everything else will fail you. Your job will fail you. The economy will fail you. People and relationships, they'll fail you because they're broken. I've only met one perfect person, and he happens to be God as well. His name's Jesus. He's never failed me. I really shouldn't show this video, only because I think it's funny because I'll make a point out of it, and I'm just, it's like a really old video. It's like 15 years old, so the video quality is not amazing, and even the sound's a little off, but I'm hoping you'll at least understand what's happening in this video, and then I'll make a point into it. If we have it.
Fall, and we're just, it'll be an exercise in building trust between one another. So Harrison, if you don't mind going first, step up here on this chair and close your eyes.
They're gonna do a trust fall.
All right, and then everybody fill in, and we're gonna ask you to fall, and then they will catch you. So you have to trust us. I'm gonna count to three, just relax and fall, okay? One, two, three.
Okay, listen. Sometimes people drop people because they're really not trustworthy. Other times it's your fault because you're falling the wrong way. Here's the point. When you're going through stuff, there's multiple ways you can fall. You can fall away from God, or you can fall towards him. Don't be upset when you say, God, I trust you. You close your eyes and you fall on your face. In a world of uncertainties, God's unchanging character becomes our anchor. We can trust him because he remains faithful, loving, and just regardless of our circumstances. See, whether you're rich or poor, whether you have much or you have little, when you can trust in him, your source of joy is in actually knowing him. Your source of wholeness, your source of comfort is having the Holy Spirit in you and with you. Don't fall away from him, fall towards him. The enemy is going to try to use every circumstance to convince you to fall away from him. He's going to utilize the brokenness of this world. He's going to utilize brokenness in relationships. He's going to utilize the uncertainty of situations and say, just fall away, man. Don't go towards him. That's the lie of the enemy. Because the way that you become whole is by putting all of your trust in him. We trust by overcoming fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Trust enables us to confront our fears with faith, knowing that God is greater than anything we might face. He didn't give you a spirit of fear. Sometimes I pray this prayer, God, I'm using my self-control in this moment to give you all control. Controlling yourself does not mean that you control all your circumstances, because if you've lived long enough, you realize that's actually impossible. Controlling yourself is saying that even when all hell is around me, I'm putting my trust in him. I'm controlling myself to receive his peace when the world tells me I shouldn't. I'm putting my trust to have joy even though all hell has broken loose. Why? Because I'm using the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the self-control he's given me, to not let fear overcome my faith. When you believe the lie, you empower the liar. Don't believe the enemy's lies. You're just giving him greater power. Don't give in to fear because you're believing the lie, so you're empowering fear. When you actually have faith steadfast on him, that means you trust him, which means that you give him all control. Man, that's that word again, all. That's hard. If you've ever had to teach a teenager how to drive, you know how hard it is. Because you see where they're taking you. I've gotten into arguments with my teenagers. I have two older teenagers, 19 years old, and explained explicitly how the car operates, and I am verbally walking them through steps, and they have like a background of being driven everywhere their whole entire lives. But when they're in control, I don't like it. I want some control at the very least. I want the privilege to be able to do this. Well, hey, let me just help you here. Wait, stop, step on. No, you know, and you get whiplash from the them trying to figure out acceleration and braking is just, and then, you know, I have to confess, there were moments where I said, okay, just stop the car right now, get out. We're switching. I am not ready to relinquish all control. Not ready. And of course, that's understandable because these are very inexperienced people. But when it comes to God, who's outside time, who formed you in your mother's womb, who knows you and knows every step of your life and how it's supposed to go, and his desire is that you prosper. His desire is that you're whole. His desire is that you fulfill the will that he's, that the plan he's created for you. And he's just saying, just rest in me, trust in me, give me all control. Stop trying to allow me to lead you while also grabbing the steering wheel. We trust him in the midst of our trials. Isaiah 41:10. He says, fear not. That means don't fear. Why? For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Trusting God in trials allows us to find peace and strength, knowing that he is with us, guiding us through the storm. And when we trust him, there's a transformative power when we trust him. See, trust ultimately leads to surrender. See, people used to think, surrender, like when you think of surrender, you think of battles, right? You think of, competing armies. You think of one army has to surrender to the other army or they're going to get slaughtered. But surrender in the biblical sense, when you're surrendering to God, it's not that you're just giving. It's surrendering to God. It's not like that you're just now switched. It's like he's taking you prisoner, but it's like you actually switch sides. You're no longer fighting for yourself. You're fighting for him. And when you surrender to God, you're actually going like, oh man, I'm on the wrong team. I want to be on your team, God. See, there's a transformation that happens when you surrender to him. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Trusting God completely leads us to surrender our lives to him, allowing his will to shape our actions and decisions, not your own. And I'm just going to wrap up right now because I know God wants to do something this morning. Jeremiah 17:7, he says this, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear. When heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Trust brings abundant blessings. Trusting in God's provision and guidance results in a life marked by spiritual fruitfulness and enduring peace, regardless of external circumstances. What I'm trying to tell you, church, because I love you guys so much, is that if you trust in me, you'll be greatly disappointed. If you trust in circumstances, you're going to be disappointed. If you trust in departments and politics and everything in this world will disappoint you. But if you put your trust, all of it, in Jesus, he will never fail you. He'll overcome the fear in your life. He will give you peace. He will give you joy. He will be the one that will be steadfast to walk you through the fire, because you can actually rest in him. The struggle that you're experiencing oftentimes is you not giving all trust in him. 50% sounds like a lot. It's not enough. He asked for all. The reason why he gave all of himself on the cross for us, Jesus came and died on the cross for us as a perfect sacrifice. He gave all of himself so that we can give all of ourselves to him and we can be a new creation in him. And I just want to submit this to you as you're sitting in these strong chairs, Febreze chairs, smell amazing. If you just want to just smell the seat of your chair real quick, just, you can, no, I'm just kidding. Sorry. That's inappropriate. And I'm still a kid. I'm still learning. But as you're resting in these strong chairs, ask the Lord, God, is part of my struggle that I'm having in life is that I haven't given you all trust. I've held back. If you don't know Jesus, maybe you know about him, but you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, today's an opportunity for you to put all your trust in him. So I just want to invite you to stand. You might be going through a really major circumstance right now. I want to have an opportunity for us to pray for you because we believe that God is for you, that God wants to help you. And God's never meant for you to live in isolation. What do I mean by that? You need to be in community. And as a community, when you come forward for prayer, we're going to come around you and pray for you. But as we're praying, I'm also going to make a ask and see if you want to come forward because you're going through something, you're having trouble putting all your trust in him. You're a believer, you believe in God, but circumstances has put you in a disposition and have maybe had some doubt in your life. You used to be the glue that was like, man, I trust all of you. But all of a sudden some air bubbles started popping up. The seal started to, and you've started to let go. And you forgot, oh, I'm supposed to cling. We want to pray for you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, we're going to give you an opportunity to today. But let me pray for you first. I want you to close your eyes, bow your heads, you know, assume the position as we pray. It's okay to have fun in church, eh? Well, Jesus, I thank you that we get to put our trust in you, to trust in you, Lord. Jesus, I pray right now that you would break off the external circumstances that have put a box around you and what you can do. Lord, that we would learn to trust in you again. Father, I pray that Holy Spirit, that you would move through this auditorium, this sanctuary, and that you would just bring and highlight things that you need to remind people of, like, hey, you're not putting your trust in me here. You're trying to sit and you're trying to rest in me, but still stand on your own two feet. And this is the frustrating part. Just rest in me. Lord, I pray that you would speak to them right now. Lord, if there's someone in this audience who's never given their life to you or needs to give their life back to you and serve you again, would you convict them and show them that you're the way, you're the truth, you're the life, that there is no other way, God? They may have tried everything else, but they want to try you now.